We want to look tonight at the importance of a clear conscience. We often don't think of this, and in fact, we crowd our mind filled with all the reasons why this would really be a bad idea. I don't want to bring this up to that person again. I don't want to remind them of a thing I did. And we have all the excuses. But God says this is important. The gaining of a transparent personality, not a hidden, covert type of thing. God lists a clear conscience as one of our most needed weapons for successful spiritual achievement. So let me take you to 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19. And we'll wait for the cloud to pass. We're still looking at cloud. Yep. There we go. 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before unto thee. He's talking about when he was ordained, and in that day, God's Spirit would speak to individuals and give them a message of prophecy. And so they said evidently some great things about Timothy, that God had prepared him to be a very capable servant of God. Now, we don't know when that happened, but that's what he's talking about here. And he says, that thou by them, by those prophecies, mightest war a good warfare. Now, in the context then of ministry, in the context of fighting against the devil and against sin and fighting for the Lord, he says, holding faith. This means holding true to the doctrines you've been taught, and a good conscience. You see, he weighs them in this passage equally, to believe correctly, but to have a clear conscience, which some, he says, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. He says that you can make a shipwreck of your faith if you're not getting your conscience cleared. Let's look at some examples then. To me, it's the best way to look at this, because we hear him say it, but what does it mean? Well, let's look at it in real life. The cautions in gaining a clear conscience. Tom said to his pastor, "My parents aren't Christians. They seem to make things as difficult as they can for me. They want nothing to do with the church or the Bible." The pastor leaned in and said, "Tom, how important is it to you that your parents become Christians? I know you'd like that, but how important is it to you?" Tom says, "It's very important to me. I really want them to accept Christ." Pastor then says, "Then there's something very important you must do." And Tom, the way he was looking at it, the blind spot that he had there, says, "There's really not much I can do. We just don't seem to get along no matter how hard I try." Pastor, "Tom, here's what you can do. Get alone somewhere and carefully write down all the things you have done that cause your parents to get angry with you. Put these under general topics, such as laziness, ungratefulness, poor attitude, so on. Then go to each of them, each of your parents, and ask for forgiveness for these things." How important is it, Tom? Will you be willing to humble yourself and ask for forgiveness? Tom went home, determined to carry this out. 2 weeks later, the pastor received this note from him. "I did what you suggested and went to each member of my family and made amends with them. Each one was deeply touched by this, even my younger brother. I've been trying to live up to Christian standards here at home, and I've slipped a couple of times. I've also taken your advice and am memorizing a verse of scripture each day. My mother is coming to church with me regularly now. Thank God." The power of a clear conscience. A few months later, Tom wrote again. I just thought I would write and tell you of the latest developments in our family. My mother recently went to talk with our pastor and has rededicated her life to Christ. Now there are two of us in our family. I'm very thankful to the Lord for answering prayer. And the next month, he sent another note. My mother is growing in Christ every day, and I hope I am too. Thank you for your prayers. Perhaps in your life, there are people that you just haven't been able to get along with, and your mind is filled with what they did to you. And if you tried to ask for forgiveness, you said, I know you did wrong to me, and I did some wrong to you, and I'd like you to forgive me for what I did to you, because I'm a better person. That's the implication. And then we're surprised that they're not happy about giving us forgiveness. We have to be consumed with what we did, and we're asking, we're not talking about what they did, only talking about what we did. And so we're asking forgiveness for that. You say, well, sure, that would be nice, but too much trouble. Well, you're setting yourself up. Let me deal with, thirdly, a clear conscience affects your ability to make correct decisions. Tell you a story first before we get to the idea of the conscience. The president of a lumber yard drove home on a rainy night. As he hurried around a winding forest road, he came upon a boy on a bicycle. He slammed on his brakes, but hit the boy on the slick road. He heard the quick crunch and the dull thud against the front of his car. In that split second, he had to make a decision. This was a decision that would influence the rest of his life. He backed up the car and drove around the boy on the road, and in a cold sweat, sped on home. The next morning, as he was eating breakfast, his wife turned on the radio. At that very moment came the report of the hit-and-run accident. Another car had come around the curve and hit the boy. He was in critical condition at the hospital. The man's wife said how terrible it was that first driver had not stopped. His son came in just at that time saying, hey, Dad, your front headlight is broken. The man lied and said he broke it getting into the garage. All day he could not do his work, and at noon he turned himself in to the police. The entire town was angry at this incident. The judge found it necessary to make a public example of the man. He was sentenced to 20 years in prison. After the trial, he asked the judge what penalty would have been given him if he had taken the boy to the hospital. The judge told him there would be no penalty. It was an accident. You would have done what you could. A reporter became interested in finding out why a responsible businessman, father, would make such a wrong decision at the scene of the accident. The man was willing to explain. When I was a boy, my father had a beautiful pocket watch. I saw him put it in the top drawer of his dresser. One day, I wanted to show the watch to my friends at school. I thought about how important it would make me feel. I didn't think my father would like the idea, so I secretly slid it into my pocket. As one of my friends handed the watch back to me, it slipped and broke into tiny pieces. I gathered up what I could and later put the pieces into the napkin in my father's dresser. About a week later, my father discovered the broken watch and was furious. I lied and told him I didn't know anything about it. As I look back, I can see that ever since then, I've run from an accident instead of facing the consequences. We train ourselves when we refuse to get our conscience clear by asking for forgiveness. A fourth thing, a clear conscience affects your power to conquer new temptations. This is perhaps best illustrated by a poor little six-year-old. Six-year-old girl came to her mother and solemnly asked, "If I do something wrong, isn't it enough to ask God to forgive me?" Her mother explained that if she offended someone, she must also ask that person to forgive her. The girl sadly left the room. A little later, she returned, "Mommy, what if the person won't forgive me?" Her mother assured her that if she were truly sorry for what she had done, she would certainly be forgiven. She left quietly, returned a few minutes later, "Mommy, I didn't lie to Grandma, and I didn't lie to my brother, but I lied to you." Mother asked how. When did she lie to her? "Three nights ago, when I came into your room, you asked me if I had a nightmare because you said I couldn't sleep with you and Daddy, only if I had a nightmare. I told you that I did, but I didn't. The next morning when everybody asked me what the nightmare was, I had to make it up." She began to cry. Just then her 11-year-old brother, much older and wiser, walked in and asked what the matter was. When the mother explained that, the girl asked her brother, "Did you ever lie?" He said, "Yes. When I was your age, I did." She asked, "You haven't lied since then?" He was very emphatic. "No, it's just not worth it. If you lie, you have to go back and ask for forgiveness. And it's just not worth it." Not easy finding a picture of a solemn 11-year-old. If you go through this, as hard as it is to face what you did wrong, it emphasizes to you how wrong it was, and especially in the eyes of others and the eyes of God. You go in, say, "I did it, it was wrong, please forgive me." That's about, you expand on what you're talking about, but that's about it. You don't say, "You did wrong to me and I did wrong to you." You don't do any of that. You don't say, "I apologize." You ask for forgiveness. For you to apologize is you just making a statement. You're not asking actually for a response. So it's not the same at all. I have done this where the person says, "Oh, don't worry about that." And I had to say, "Well, thank you for that, but it would mean a lot to me. Would you forgive me?" And it came to the point where they had to say yes or no. And when they said yes, they could let it go. The fifth thing is this: a clear conscience gives you freedom to build deeper friendships. Perhaps all around you there are people that you don't have the relationship you once did. And this youth worker might remind you of this, because one of the most attractive quality for making friends is sincere humility, the opposite of arrogant pride. A youth worker told this story. "At one point in my life, I made a list of all those that weren't as friendly toward me as they once were. In each case, I recalled that there was something I had done or neglected to do which accounted for their lack of friendliness. I remember not intending to offend, but leaving a sick man's house, and he said something about coming back, and I said, I'll see you soon, or I'll see you tomorrow," or something like that. And what I meant it to be is to say, I'll see you as soon as I can get back. But that's not what I said. I actually made a promise. And so it didn't count too much with me. And the man died before I could get back. And his wife was terribly upset. "You promised." He remembered, and he believed that you would be back the very next day. And I just had to ask for forgiveness. she was not ready at that time to forgive me. The youth minister said I had not gone back to any of them because I felt each of them had wronged me more than I wronged them. That's an excuse. You can't deal with what they did to you. You have to deal with what you did to them. That's the clear conscience. God made it clear to me that I should forgive and forget their 90% wrong and ask forgiveness for my little 10%. That's how we think, right? I went back to each of them and asked for forgiveness. These people became the greatest supporters of my youth work. One man who was on my list I had not seen for several years, and I thought I would never see him again. But he took the time. I worked out what I would say to him if I ever saw him again. And one day, he stopped by to borrow something. I took the opportunity to ask his forgiveness. Now, through a chain of events, his reports about the work, this youth worker's work, to others, resulted in gifts for my ministry totaling over $30,000. It was a great start up for his growing ministry. Another fellow tells this story, Cal. He was a high school student who asked his pastor if he should go back to the owner of a store where he had worked during the summer. He said, "While I was working there, I took some money out of the cash register." He wondered if he should ask forgiveness since he didn't have any money to pay the man back. If he came to you, what would you say? The pastor assured him that God was deeply concerned that he go back as soon as possible and confess what he had done. He could offer to pay part of it now and the rest of it when he was able. In fact, if you go back to the God's requirements to the law of Israel, you find that when this happens, he said you pay it back plus one-fifth, plus 20%. This is interest on that loan you took. One week later, Cal gave this report. "I went back to the owner of the store. He was really surprised to see me and especially amazed that I would confess to what I had done and offer to pay it back. Not only did he forgive me, he gave me a good paying job. He said that the courage and honesty I had in coming back to him are the qualities he's looking for in his employees." Proverbs 28:13. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." The New Testament, 2 Corinthians 6:8-10. "By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report," as his reports of people about him, "as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things." And this is the way people will see us or talk about us. But when we have a clear conscience, then God honors that. God works through that. And that's all I have for you tonight on this, because I want you to take this and ask yourself, who is it out there that I have offended? They offended me and all that, but we left badly. It could be a family member. I'm amazed to find people talking about their family. We haven't talked in years. Yeah, we had a blow up, and you know, we so enjoy the fellowship of our family that we can hardly imagine that. ask yourself, how did they see me? How did they hear the words that I said? And did that redefine who I am to them? And if you can sense that and go back, if you found that you stole something, God is not satisfied until you go to that person and offer to make it right. You say, what if that means arrest? It means what it means. And if you're not willing to do that, you're not willing to actually confess. You're not willing to get a clear conscience. Let's bow for prayer. Father, sometimes we feel that you tell us hard things. But when we look at it, you tell us wonderful things, but they fall on a hard heart. Father, help us then to recognize that your word tells us it is important for us to clear our conscience, not to hold a grudge, and to make things right for those that hold a grudge against us. Now, we can't guarantee that it will solve the problem, but we will have done what we could. We will have obeyed your word, and our heart will be at rest. We know, Father, that there are parents who have offended children, children that have offended parents. There have been friends who offended friends, husbands who offended wives and wives' husbands. I ask that you might help us then to see that you are more concerned about how we treated others than you are about how others treated us. You tell us to forgive, but then you ask us to ask for forgiveness. Christ told the man with the gift at the altar that if there was something wrong with between he and his brother, don't even give the offering. Just leave it there. Go make things right. Then come back, give the offering. You are not interested in the worship and the gifts of those who carry about the uncleared conscience, that have hurt people and are not willing to bear the responsibility. Father, help us to be real. Help us to recognize that we don't deal with carving letters in stone. We're dealing with human hearts. We're dealing with people that we might be holding back because we represented Christianity to them. Burden our hearts then, Father. Help us to see these people as people that could be released if we ask for forgiveness. With heads bowed, eyes closed. In a very difficult situation very often, I wonder if you say, Lord, helping me, I know of some people that I need to ask for forgiveness. I need, like the pastor told that boy, to list my offenses and then ask them to forgive us. Not a letter of apology, face to face if possible, ask for forgiveness and just wait for their answer. If God's dealing with you in this regard, if there's someone you should speak to, I wonder if you'd slip your hand up, say, pray for me. May God give me the strength of conscience to clear my conscience. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Father, we ask that you might help us to be transparent in our lives, not hiding our guilty relationships, but disclosing it and asking for forgiveness. So we commit it into your hands, knowing that you read the heart. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.